Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report on Futures. Once upon a time, if you were diagnosed with HIV, you basically had no future. But now HIV-positive people are living into old age. What's in store for them? Professor Suzanne Crowe has been caring for people with living with HIV for 30 years, service that was recognised in the Queen's Birthday Honours. What's the future looking like for the rest of us, especially here in Victoria? The government succeeded this week in restoring religious exemptions to equal opportunity law and is completing a review of the Human Rights Charter. Are our rights likely to be eroded further? Jamie Gardner, the Deputy Chair of the Administrative Law and Human Rights Executive Committee of the Law Institute of Victoria, will be here to talk about that. We talk a lot about mental illness on this show, but what exactly is mental illness? How will it be defined, recognised and treated in future? Because every time a new edition of the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders is published, more of us seem to be mentally ill. Sydney Block, the honorary psychiatrist at St Vincent's and former editor of the Australian New Zealand Journal of Psychiatry, will be joining us to explain. And finally, what does the future of the Baillieu government look like? Former Liberal MP Andrew Alexander was at Parliament when they voted through the changes to the Equal Opportunity Act that I spoke of earlier. He'll be joining us to give us his insider intake on what went on and what it presages for the future of the state government. Keeping me company in the studio and adding their wit and wisdom will be Liberal MP for Prahran, Clem Newton-Brown, Pride March Victoria Chair Brett Hayhoe and Joy Stalwart, Bianca Johnston. You can listen online at joy.org.au/listen-live or via our free iPhone app, and podcasts will be available shortly after the broadcast, which you can join into. This is how you do it.
You're listening to the Rainbow Report. Send us your thoughts. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or send your reports to 0427 569 949.
Well, my first guest today is Professor Suzanne Crowe. She was appointed a member in the Order of Australia for service to medical research in HIV/AIDS medicine and infectious diseases in the Queen's Birthday Honours list. She works, she's from Monash University and has been head of the Burnet Institute Virology Centre since 2009. And she's authored lots and lots and lots of papers. Good afternoon, Suzanne. How are you?
Hello, Dad. I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Now, you've been looking after patients with HIV for a very long time, haven't you?
If 30 years counts for being a long time, it's almost that. I started the first HIV clinic in Melbourne with my friend and colleague, Dr. Anne Mitch, back in 1984. And I've been looking after people with HIV, mainly in Melbourne, Australia, but for a few years also in San Francisco ever since then.
Now, it's a very different thing now, isn't it? Because we have a situation where when you started out, it was almost like a death sentence to be... Well, it was a death sentence to be told you had HIV, but now we're getting to the stage where people are ageing with HIV, and that brings a whole new set of problems, doesn't it?
That's so true. Back in the early 80s, I think the average age of... I think the numbers I remember for men who have sex with men, the average age was about 33 years. And now the average age of someone who's having sex with men is much, much older than that. In 2005, it went from the average age of about 33 years to 43 years. And by 2015, I think we can expect more than 50% of the gay community who are infected with HIV to be over 50 years of age. So it's really changed a lot over that time.
So what are the challenges facing older people with HIV?
Well, I think that we've now got viral load under suppression. We've got good drugs that are able to keep HIV well controlled. But what we're finding out is that people with HIV infection have got an increased risk of developing some of the diseases that we normally associate with old age, such as heart disease, cancers, and dementia.
Now, Brett Hayhoe, are you finding this kind of thing among the older cohort of people with HIV?
Oh, look, it's really quite interesting. The whole HIV sector is growing, moving. It's this living organism that changes on a year-to-year basis.
That's right, yeah. So firstly, we've got people who are living longer with HIV infection because they are benefiting from all the drugs that are available and the excellent care that's available in Australia in particular. But on top of that, we've got this additional problem where, despite the fact that these infected people are living longer ages, they're also developing some of the diseases that we normally see associated with old age much, much earlier in their life, so that we're seeing or starting to see people in our clinic who are getting heart attacks in their 40s when that's been quite unusual in the past.
Professor, we probably also need to add at this particular point, while we're talking about people living with HIV longer, we also need to remind everybody that HIV is not something you want to go out and get. So you know, there still needs to be that safe sex message in anything that we do.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you there, Doug.
That was Brett, but anyway. One point...
You can call me anything, Professor.
Yes, just be nice, he's fine. One point I'd like to raise is, you mentioned this whole thing about premature ageing. How much do you think that is because of the HIV, and how much the drugs that people take in order to control the HIV? I mean, is this a side effect?
Well, I think there are lots of things that contribute to it. Partly it's HIV itself. We know that HIV infection long-term is associated with chronic inflammation, which affects the immune system and makes people more vulnerable to the development of heart disease and other diseases such as cancer. But we also know that the drugs that people are taking, which keep them alive for a lot longer, do have side effects, and some of these side effects can contribute to, for example, problems with cholesterol and in the blood, which can in turn increase the risk for having a heart attack or a stroke.
Yeah, Professor, are we finding... Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, do we have impacts on the liver and kidneys as well?
Yes, there are impacts on the liver and kidneys, particularly in people who've got HIV on board, as well as some of the hepatitis viruses, yep. Hepatitis B and hepatitis C. And some of the drugs can also affect the kidneys, such as tenofovir, which is one of the drugs that we use to treat HIV infection. The longer we use that, we see that in some people it makes them more vulnerable to kidney disease.
Yeah, so I think the point is that Brett would agree with me here. You know, having HIV is no walk in the park.
No, absolutely. And I think that we're lucky that we've got these treatments available, more so than many of our neighbours in resource-limited countries around us. So we're lucky we've got these treatments available.
Indeed.
That help HIV under control, but we've also got to see that the drugs that people take in order to keep HIV well controlled are associated with potentially very serious side effects.
Yeah, there's no free walk in the park, to speak, in any of this.
Well,
thank you for joining us this morning, Suzanne. Congratulations on your gong from Her Maj.
Thank you.
It's always nice to get a birthday present from somebody who's having a birthday rather than the other way around.
That's right, and it's nice to get an unexpected surprise, but it's a nice surprise too.
It is, and thank you also for all your work over the years.
Oh, it's not a problem at all. I've enjoyed doing it. Bye for now.
Thank you, and goodbye. That was Professor Suzanne Crowe there. As I say, she got a medal from the Queen, which was very well deserved, I think you might agree, Brett.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the people, there's a whole raft of people who have been working for many, 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 many years with very little financial gain in the HIV sector. And the longevity that you're now talking about on the show this morning is this afternoon. Look at that. I did that. that longevity can very well be attributed to the work of people like Professor Susan Crowe and, you know, organizations such as PLWHA, orgs around the country, NAPWHA, the National Association, FAO, all of those sort of people who are working for a better life for people living with HIV.
Indeed.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.